This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Good to be with you. You can text the show 713-572-4610. Rockets crumbs here. We've talked a lot about the Rockets in this first hour. We'll certainly talk about them more today on the show. Text message, you can't play Steven Adams when they hack him on purpose to put him on the line. He's a terrible free throw shooter. Yeah, no, they started piling up the fouls to do that, and with 4 minutes and 25 seconds left, Ime Udoka took Steven Adams out. By the time Steven Adams came back in with under 2 minutes to go, the Warriors had the lead back. I was hoping that was the chess move, Seth, where I thought to myself, like, okay, that was a good move by Steve Kerr. That stemmed the Rockets had some momentum. They had the lead. They were getting things done. Boy, Adams was playing well. He was blocking shots. He was getting on the glass. He was their better big at that point, especially with Draymond doing his thing on Şengün. And I was in that moment, my feeling was like, don't take him out. Muscle through this. If they put him on the line, hope that Steven Adams makes his free throws. Nobody else is a good free throw shooter on this team right now. They can hack any of these guys if they want to.
Yeah,
right
in
now.
That game, you can't send a guy who shoots 50% to the free throw line like Steven Adams, Jabari Smith Jr., Dylan Brooks, Jalen Green. 50% is an aspiration for him.
Yeah.
Amen Thompson was 60% from the line.
Yeah.
This is a hell of a junior high basketball team,
John. It's so
they
frustrating.
They really are.
I thought Craig Ackerman was going to throw his headset down last night. When I forget who it was. Somebody missed two, and I can't remember who it was, but I thought Craig Ackerman's head was going to explode.
Your best two free throw shooters were Tari Eason and Alperen Şengün.
Yeah.
It's always best when the center is one of your best free throw shooters in the game.
Yeah. So I thought that was a really good chess move by Steve Kerr. It was effective. They got the lead back. It was 98-97 Rockets when Adams went out, and it was 104-101 when he came back in 2.5 minutes later. It was a good
move.
What
do we call hacking Adams? Like, what's your like, instead of hack a Shaq?
They were calling it hack a Adams on the broadcast last night.
I like hack a Kiwi.
Okay.
That sounds better.
Okay.
Hack a Kiwi.
Hack a Kiwi.
Right? Don't you call people from New Zealand Kiwis?
I think so, yeah.
Okay,
I think so.
Hack a Kiwi.
That's not an offensive name, is it?
No, I think they call themselves. Oh, God, I hope not.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Shock Jock.
Don't get
insults. Shock Jock
Seth
Payne. No, I think they call themselves Kiwis.
Do they? Okay, cool. I thought that was a good move. We had a lot of people asking about that. I thought that was a good move by Steve Kerr. I would have left Steven Adams in there.
It's a common and affectionate nickname for Steven Adams.
Let's roll with it, man. Let's roll with it and hope it doesn't get deployed anymore.
I'm not even joking about the 50. These guys are all 50%.
No, they suck
from the
at the line.
This entire playoff series, on any given night, you can't trust any of them to be better than 50%.
Nope.
I get so angry when they make a 3-point shot because it shouldn't be encouraged.
Well, in this,
in this series too, Seth.
It gets frustrating because a lot of these fouls, like it's a foul on Draymond Green and he's going ballistic and he's going nuts. And the way to drive the knife into the heart over that foul is to actually make the free throws. It feels like they miss every technical free throw they get in this series, you know?
Yeah.
You get the Warriors get teed up, a little bit of momentum for you. They're frustrated. The easiest way to hand the momentum and to unfrustrate them is to clank the free throw. And by the way, stop using Jalen on the technical foul shots when Fred VanVleet is on the floor. Fred VanVleet is who I would pick to shoot the free throw in that situation.
Yeah.
That's just my little bit of advice. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, this draft class for the Texans. We've not talked about it yet today. We talked about it a lot yesterday. The dust still settling here after the draft. The report cards are out, Seth. And I love the graphic you sent me yesterday that gets put out every year. We're on the x-axis is all of the experts, and the y-axis, the vertical axis, I think I got it right, is all the teams.
Yeah.
And they have a chart that shows all the grades that each of the experts have given all 32 NFL teams, right?
Yeah. I don't want to turn this into a middle school mathematics class, but I'm not. It is somebody, one of our teachers who's listening to this while your kids are in study hall. I think just even talking about, yeah, I guess you're right. It was a chart, though. It wasn't a graph. You were describing it was like going to be one of those graphs or something. So, yeah, so it's a chart that shows all the grades, and then it adds up and gives you
right.
a GPA.
Right, it wasn't a graph like EPA where all the teams are splattered on the graph somewhere.
Yeah,
yes.
I got excited when you started talking about the axes because I'm like, I don't even remember sending this graph.
I could tell. The bottom line is that it was. I thought it was cool because they had the GPA that all the experts handed out along the bottom of the chart, and they had the GPA that each of the teams got from those experts along the right side of the chart right there. The bottom line, regardless of geometry, math, or arithmetic, is that the Texans have a cumulative GPA from all the experts. I believe there were like 20-something of them. There are a couple dozen of them. Their cumulative GPA with all the grades is a 2.93. Right in the meaty part of the curve, Seth. Not doing
it's
too
below
much.
Below average, though.
Below average, but not doing too much to get ahead and falling a little behind, but not too far behind.
I think, like, obviously, you don't take post-draft grades very seriously at all. It is kind of fun to just kind of get a feel for what people feel about it. Yeah. I think the big thing with the Texans is that they're slightly below average, according to all of these, but it's kind of what you would expect. It's very consistently Bs with a few Cs sprinkled in. But very few A's, very few D's and F's.
Yeah.
So it's, which I think when you don't have a first round pick, especially, but you do have a boatload of picks, I think people kind of look at it and think, all right, well, like, okay, you did by and large what you were supposed to do with the picks that you had.
Yeah.
The biggest thing, and I think some of the more positive appraisals have been a lot of people that really like Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. Felt really good about this draft. There were a lot of people that really felt like those guys were kind of, especially these days where there's so many good second and third round wide receivers every year that end up producing their rookie year. I think a lot of people that identify those guys is like, hey, keep an eye on this guy. Yeah. He might not be a first rounder, but he's got a lot of potential.
I don't have anything scientific to back this up. This is just gut feel from having read maybe a dozen of these report card articles because they interest me. I know Nick Caserio. Do we have that, Ben? I know Nick Caserio thinks that these are awfully silly. These drafts.
Yeah, I think anything that's said outside the building is just noise. So it doesn't really affect our focus, our preparation. So like we're just focused on our team. We're just focused on improvement. And we're focused on the work. So what people, it's kind of like the draft. There, you know, we go through the weekend. You know, we're gonna have on Monday, right, or Sunday afternoon. Draft grades, right? I mean, it's the most ridiculous concept that I've ever heard of. Like, the players haven't even been in the building yet, and we're making an assessment about their performance.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's fun. We do it because it's fun. There's 20.
We do it because it's ridiculous.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. So there's 24 graders on this chart that I was describing before that you and I are looking at here, Seth. And I read probably 10 of these. Because they are fun to go read, and ultimately it's fun to go back and look and see who is accurate and who is inaccurate about it. You know, this is how we do these things. I would say it feels like to me, feels like, no science here, the favorite pick that the experts have for the Texans is Jalen Noel in the third round. It feels like a lot of people had a grade on Jalen Noel, like people whose opinion I respect at least, had a grade on Jalen Noel that was probably a round above where he went, and you combine that with just watching his highlights, like there is a lot of Christian Kirk, Tank Dell element to Jalen. It's easy for us to get excited about Jalen Noel here because we've watched healthy Tank Dell play, and he's got some elements of that to his game. Hopefully he can stay healthier than Tank has stayed his first two seasons. It feels like to me that's everybody's, not everybody's, but that's the consensus sort of favorite pick.
Well, and he has all of that. Those same things that Tank Dell did have as well. Is that speed and that explosiveness that you look at it and you just imagine, okay, wow, if they can find the opportunities for this guy, this is a highlight reel waiting to happen. Now, nobody moves like Tank Dell when Tank Dell's healthy. Right? So I'm not trying to compare him to Tank Dell, but that type of a small, speedy guy that your imagination starts to run wild. And just like we did last year when our imaginations were running wild.
Yeah.
I've got imagination fatigue from off seasons with wide receivers. I've realized that because every step along the way right now, when I get excited, I've watched a lot of Jaden Higgins and Jalen Reed over the last few days, and I get really excited, and then I remind myself, oh yeah, I was out at training camp last year and I saw three really incredibly talented wide receivers out on the field, and I thought to myself, wow, this could be fireworks. And then I would watch a play, and C.J. Stroud couldn't run a single play in some periods because the offensive line was getting destroyed.
Don't let him steal your hope, Seth.
I'm really high on Jalen Noel.
Yeah.
I need C.J. to have a little bit of time.
Yes.
To open up the drag route, or like just some of these simple crossers. Does he have enough time to get his third foot in the ground before
so.
He gets hit?
God, yeah. I hope so. The two best grades that the Texans got, they got two A-level grades. They got A- from Chad Reuter, which really doesn't count because he is, and this was borne out on this chart. Chad Reuter of the NFL Network is the easiest grader. His average
across the board
of all these different draft experts, he gave out a 3.44 GPA on average to the 32 NFL teams, a full 0.14 ahead of the next closest easy professor out there. They got an A-, the Texans did, from the easiest grader, and they got a D+ from the hardest grader, who's got the hardest name of any of these guys, Thor Nystrom.
Thor is the one that I'm most convinced isn't an actual person, just because he comes in hard and like a Nordic god or something, and he's the hardest grader. I don't buy that this is an actual person, and yet he does. I'm looking at it, and I kind of respect him because I think his grades kind of follow a normal grading curve. Like, okay, out of 32 people, a couple guys got an F, a few got Ds and D pluses or what have you.
He's the only one to give an F to any NFL team.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He gave. So I kind of respect that he's trying to abide by how a tough teacher might actually grade.
He gave an F to the Chargers and he gave an F to the Lions. How about the Lions getting an F from somebody for their. Now, the Lions are 30th out of these 32 teams. The experts do not view this as a great weekend for the Detroit Lions, but an F. Wow.
This is in summation, old Thor said this about the Texans' D+ effort.
Oh, yeah.
He said, "Well, I loved Houston's first three picks." Oh, okay. D+. "I thought they aggressively reached on the USC Trojans they took with their next two picks."
Okay.
So that'd be Jalen Smith, the cornerback, and Woody Marks, the running back. I think that's a comment. A lot of people feel that way, that they reached.
They were overdrafted.
Guys.
Everybody had a 6-round grade on them. They got drafted in the third and fourth.
Luke Lachey, the tight end out of Iowa, taken a round later, might hang around. If Lachey lives up to his Iowa pedigree with his blocking technique. Well, wait, no, it says Luce lives up to his Iowa pedigree with his blocking technique, but needs to fill out his rangy frame with more muscle and improve play strength before being trusted to regularly tango with War Daddy power ends.
Okay.
That is lewd and lascivious. Hey, Luke, you ready to tango with War Daddy power ends?
Tango with Myles Garrett? Yeah.
You ready to do what it takes to get into the NFL? You're going to have to tango with some War Daddy power ends.
Got
to
do what you got to do,
a little initiation,
man.
Right.
Got to
do
what you got to do.
Oh, yeah, okay, so your seventh round. He wrote more about the seventh round pick than he did any of the previous, the first six rounds.
Yeah, I think if I'm grading, like, the first three picks carry more weight to me than do the day three picks.
100%. From any team, you can say
that.
From any
team, I'm saying
as a rule. Teams, if you hit on a fifth, if you hit on a sixth or seventh rounder, then it's found money.
Yeah.
If you, the first few rounds is where, okay, lots of teams want these guys. I can, look, the reaching for Jalen Smith, reaching for Woody Marks, I get it. I tend to, and I said this before the draft, when it gets down into the fourth round, it's just a quagmire of different teams with different ratings,
yep.
And it's going to be all over the place. So reaching for Jalen Smith, I get that, because I know a lot of people, there were a lot of people who thought he was a sixth or seventh rounder.
Sure.
With us here in Houston, I think where Caserio gets leeway, if he's going to get any leeway at all, it's with drafting defensive backs, because he's been incredible at drafting, and the Texans have been incredible at developing defensive backs so far. So if they think that Jalen Smith is worth taking in the third round, then for that position group, yeah, I give Nick all the benefit of the doubt.
I think the other thing too, and Nick says this a lot, is that their grades on players are based on the role they would have with the Houston Texans. Not just how they grade out on the relative athletic score or the interviews or whatever. It's the role they would have with the Texans. And I think they've got a talented enough roster now, especially on the defensive side, to where if there's specificity with what you're looking to do with Jalen Smith, if you feel like, okay, we could use him in the slot corner as a pinch, boy, he's got a really good element to special teams for his game where he can run down and be a guy that Frank Ross can use on special teams. And if you've got a grade on him where you just physically as a player look at him a little higher than most, then a late third round grade, I'm not going to get worked up over. Similarly with Woody Marks. Look, Joe Mixon is going to be the guy still this season carrying the ball 20 times a game for you. They need somebody with some juice on third down. And Woody Marks, while I think he can still be a guy who, if Joe Mixon were to go down, you could lean on him for a few games to carry the ball a bunch. Mm-hmm. I think you could do that. I think he did that at times at USC. They really like his hands out of the backfield. Like, that was worth it to them to add that element to their offense. So I think the role is a big thing for them.
They like his hands out of the backfield. And there's also, with him, it's one of those things that's hardest to predict exactly how a guy's going to be in the NFL. But the vision and his patience. Mm-hmm. I think his patience, I was impressed with a college kid that really just understands reading his blocks, letting the blocks set up in front of him, and then hitting it when it's time to hit it. There's a kind of a flow to his game that, you know, the best version of it is Arian Foster. I'm not predicting he's Arian Foster.
Sure.
But I think he has that same kind of flow and rhythm to his game that's nice to see. That's an unteachable trait. You know, Damian Pierce is never going to be taught that. That's not his game. He's better at the bulldog straight ahead game, but I think it can be a nice offset for a guy like Damian Pierce. I think there's a classic, sometimes you need a hammer, sometimes you need a violin, and Damian Pierce is the hammer.
Yep.
I don't know what the two scenarios are where you might need a violin sometimes or a hammer the other.
The most sophisticated construction worker of all time. Hammer some nails in there, like, and just then starts playing a little bit of a tune on the violin.
Maybe
there.
Soothing somebody who's misbehaving.
There you
sometimes
go.
Some people will be soothed by music. There's other kids that you just, look, I'm bringing out the hammer. I'm going to strike you with the hammer.
Yep. Right,
it's the hammer. By kid, I meant a 19-year-old, everybody. I would never never strike a minor with a hammer.
No.
But a 19-year-old, by God,
an adult, you do it in a second. I mean, yeah.
I like this Thor. Some of his, I like his writing. So Thor, who gave the Texans a D-plus on their grade, said this about Ursary, Ariante Ursary, the Texans' second-round offensive tackle. He's a dancing bear with an enormous frame and light feet. Ursary drops a cruise ship anchor in pass pro. He's an extremely effective zone run blocker with the mobility to hit his spots and pick off linebackers.
How about
drops
that?
Drops a cruise ship anchor, he does.
How about that? Well, dancing bear. And
I don't agree with dancing bear.
You
that
don't?
He's inaccurate. He's trying to be a little too florid with his prose. Yeah, flowery.
I don't know, man. Like, he's got
whatever the word is.
That's sort of a bear shape. Like, he's, you know. Bears are not known for their thick legs or anything like that.
Well, they say dancing bear with offensive linemen a lot, but he's not a dancing bear type.
Okay.
He's very athletic.
Yeah.
He's very fast. He's much faster than you think he is when you watch him at first blush, but he's very stiff-legged.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know that. He's almost like a, like, I don't know. Oh, what's that stiff-legged dancing? Those Irish folks. That Irish river dancing stuff. Yeah.
You say so. I'm Irish.
You don't remember river dancing?
No. No, don't remember river dancing. Like,
you don't remember river dancing?
No, I don't. This is the first I've heard of river dancing. No.
Shut up. It was like the infomercial all over the place for a good decade.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know river. Ben, do you know river dancing? Have you heard of river dancing?
Are you talking about Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance?
Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance. Oh.
Okay.
You uncultured swine.
Exactly,
Sean.
Exactly.
It's Irish step dancing.
I'll just go back to my WWE highlights over here.
It's lots of kicking.
I happen to be a connoisseur of the infomercial arts. And the Lord of the Dance took America by storm and ladies' hearts and loins by storm all throughout the early 1990s.
What was it? It was an infomercial of, like, how to do this particular dance that...
He was the Lord of the Dance, Sean.
No, I get that, but what was the infomercial aspect of this? Like,
the Lord of the Dance.
But what was I buying?
The Lord of the freaking Dance.
Is it a DVD or what am I buying? I'm easily sold
to. It's an experience.
But I need to know what is being shipped to my house.
It's a magical experience artistry and Irish folklore.
Look, not even you know the full story, and you're making fun of me. Like, it's
hey Ben, bring up the Lord of the Dance.
Okay,
music.
Yeah, go find it, Ben. No, I don't know what that is. I apologize. I don't know what that is. I was drunk for the early 90s. All right, Ben. While Ben's finding,
might have been a show that you would go watch. like a show, a traveling show.
I'm so mad at you that you don't know exactly what it is.
It looks like a stage show.
It's a stage show?
Okay. Yeah, but you could totally buy DVDs of it.
I'm guessing, yeah, back
in the
day.
You could buy T-shirts and apparel and everything.
DVDs, CDs, probably in the early 90s still, right? T-shirts, hoodies.
It was a sensation, Sean.
Apparently so. Evidently.
I honestly am. You've definitely heard people say something like, I'm going to beat your ass and then river dance all over your corpse or something.
Lord of the Dance, I've heard of.
Ocho Cinco did it at his celebration a few times.
Oh,
it's like where
okay.
You stand straight up and you kind of bend at the shins.
Yes, yes,
from the knees up, you're totally vertical, but you're bending
at the
shins.
Thank you. I needed a visual aid. Just like screaming river dance, river dance, river dance. I don't know what that is, but if I give a visual aid, yes, I've seen that before. Sean is lying. He was a river dancing queen behind closed doors. Yes, I'm trying
river
to throw,
dancing lessons.
I'm trying to throw everybody off the scent. I have no idea what that is. Thou dost protest too much. Sean. Okay, now this is Becky Lynch uses the river dance on her way to the ring. That's the best way to explain it to you. Becky Lynch is a WWE superstar, Seth, who's from Ireland. So, okay, that makes, now I know what you're talking about. In the next segment, Sean learns about Jameson whiskey. I'm not buying that Sean has never heard of Riverdance. Sure. It was a phenomenon for like 56 years. It was everywhere. Everybody did a version, touchdown dance. I just didn't know it was called Riverdance. If Seth had stood up and started doing it, I would have been like, oh yeah, I've seen that before.
They did sell a lot of DVDs and stuff.
Yeah.
And so it was all over TV for a while.
Yeah.
If I make a joke about a Thighmaster, do you know what that is?
I know what a Thighmaster is. Yeah, I know what a
Thighmaster is. Of course you do. Dirty dog.
Those were good info. That was my kind of infomercial.
I'm watching some Michael Flatley action right now. 1998 plus shipping and handling. That's a pretty good deal back in 1995, Sean.
What is it? Is it a DVD? Is that what I'm getting?
This is an advertised. Oh, wait. Let's see if it's VHS or.
I don't know. Yeah, it might be VHS in the early 90s.
I don't know when this. They did it for a long. Oh, this is a cassette tape. VHS. Yeah.
Yeah, early 90s. That would still be VHS. Yeah.
Only 1998 plus shipping and handling. Okay. Typically on those VHSs, shipping and handling was like $378.
Okay.
But yeah.
Ben's got it. So, Ben, lay this on us here.
The tour that sold out every show in North America. The phenomenal Michael Flatley in his final tour with Lord of the Dance triumphantly returns to Chicagoland. July 29th through August 2nd at the Rosemont Horizon. The critics rave. Hollywood Reporter says awesome. The New York Times flamboyant. Newsweek magazine magical. Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance. Reserve seat tickets on sale now at the box office. Ticketmaster outlets or charged by phone. The show and the man you cannot miss.
Okay. That's good. That's good because there's probably people are getting in their cars.
All that to say that Ursary is basically the Michael Flatley of the NFL.
I forgot what we were talking about. I'm like,
Ariante Ursary is Michael Flatley, but on a healthy American diet, on a standard American diet. That's what he is. He's Michael Flatley on the standard American diet.
I love that. I love that Seth is like...
He didn't grow up eating just the bangers and mash or whatever the hell over there.
This is my favorite segment ever. Seth's like, hey, Thor Nystrom, listen, take your dancing bear and stick it where the sun don't shine. This guy is Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance.
He's more of a river dancer.
River dancer. That's what I was wondering. What was the verb? River dancing. Sean used to river dance on top of a piano in high heels back in the 90s. Oh, my God. sounds like Seth sleeps in river dance pajamas.
Now, the Michael Flatley outfit is a joyous one. lots of plumage.
Oh,
you're
kind of really?
like a Broadway pirate.
Yeah. A lot of flair. Yeah, a lot of flair.
Sean, if you want to tango with the War Daddies of the... What did he say? I lost
The War Daddies of the Power Edge Rushers or something like that?
Power Ends.
Power Ends, yeah. That's what it is, Power Ends. All right, Todd McShay talked about Ariante Ursary. Todd McShay loves this class for the Texans. Let's hit Ursary here first, Ben. Todd McShay... Let's see if his description is as good as Seth.
And then Ariante Ursary.
The bell of the ball in the second round for offensive lineman, man.
Ariante Ursary.
Everyone wanted him in the second round.
Massive, behemoth, light on his feet. I'm telling you, he's got a chance
scratching
to develop into a left tackle, okay? He may be able to play guard and add depth, so let's kick him inside, like Russillo said. kind of a life hack or life lesson. Someone's not, you bump to guard. But if he bumps to guard, it's temporarily because Cam Robinson was brought in just a stopgap. So this is an opportunity to develop Ursary. Needs a little developing still, and make him your left tackle, and hopefully you get him at guard and he can contribute. So I just loved what they did with their first three picks and the fact that they got an additional pick for it.
Okay, he's
the bell of the ball. He's the Michael Flatley of the NFL. Michael Flatley on McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And he's much faster and more athletic than he looks when you first watch him. He's very stiff-legged.
I thought you were going to say he's much faster and more athletic than Michael Flatley.
Oh, Todd, he would kick Michael Flatley's ass most sports.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything other than river dancing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the only
I'm skeptical of him playing guard, and I don't, you know, he totally could. It's just that he's very, very stiff-legged, and you can get away with that more as an offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. It's not so easy to teach guys to have flexibility in their frame. You can do all the hamstring stretches you want.
Yeah.
Some of that's just natural. So when you're a huge offensive tackle, like Trent Brown's a good example of a guy who, I mean, he's ridiculously tall, doesn't play with great knee bend, but he uses his mass enough that he doesn't play with great knee bend, and he's done a very effective job of it in his career. Mm-hmm. So, but to go down and play guard, it's a different scenario, and I'm not saying he can't do it or he might not be passable there. I think he's just best as an offensive tackle.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Here's one more from McShay. He loves the two wide receivers. He had Higgins, I think, rated. He had one of them rated second and one of them rated fourth, Higgins and Noel. He may outline it here in this cup, but he loves the two wide receivers the Texans took.
I thought Nick Caserio managed the board beautifully. And they still – here's the deal, okay, for me. And I didn't – and you can get into wherever you want. Jalen Smith, I thought they were high on the USC guys in the third and fourth rounds, if I wanted to nitpick a little bit. But these first three picks are three of my favorite players in the entire draft. And, like, I had a hard time. I'm like, Jaden Higgins is one thing. He's a big X. Great getting off the line of scrimmage, down the field, physical, all those things. Now I got Jalen Noel, his teammate. Who do I give a higher
grade?
Noel is so explosive. Right? He did off the line of scrimmage. And every route is crafty, like a seasoned veteran. This guy's going to come in as a slot right away and contribute big time.
Is that Jonathan Gannon or higher?
Let's take both. Let's take both of them. Higgins and Noel. Sorry. Picks 34, 79, respectively. I never thought Noel would get there. I had him ranked in my top 32.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So in his top, he had Noel with a damn near what would be the equivalent of a first round grade or close to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the receivers, Jaden Reed and Jalen Noel were both guys that when I went back and I'm looking at pre-draft stuff after the Texans select them, they were. Jaden Higgins especially was very much one of those dark horse Vogue favorites to be like, hey, don't be surprised if he goes in the first round. Don't be surprised if he goes in the first round. And then Jalen Noel's a guy that people got excited about just because of the speed, the explosiveness, everything that McShay just said. There was a glow on these guys, and that doesn't mean they're going to make it in the NFL, but you can see very much that wide receiver room, how it's shaped up. It's okay to be optimistic about it again. Mm-hmm. I don't think Tank Dell is probably going to play this year. If he does, you just can't expect that he's going to be the same version of himself. So to get that level of athleticism and with Jalen Noel and then the size with Jaden Higgins, that's a welcome sign. And they just got to clean up the offensive line, and this could be a much better offense.
That to me is a huge tell with these picks. Like, taking two receivers with your first three picks, I don't think anybody was counting on Tank. Like, this is almost like confirmation that we're not going to see Tank this year, or at least if we see him, it's going to be very late in the season that we see Tank Dell, right?
I'm sorry I interrupted Todd McShay there. That was an especially pregnant pause.
It was a long pause. No, I'm with you. That's not your fault.
That pause is like it had spent a night with Michael Flatley. It was just very virile, this Michael Flatley, who, by the way, is from the Irish town of Chicago, Illinois.
I know. Garrett just texted us. Yeah, he's American. He's
not actually Irish. He's from Chicago.
A text message. Sean has a Michael Flatley poster over his bed. That's not true. I'm Hispanic and I watched that show in Vegas. Well, it's okay. It's not, I don't think that.
Hey, allowed.
Hey, you're
Hispanics.
Allowed in. Would you sneak in or something?
They let me in. I snuck in.
Hey, with 3 exclamation points afterwards. Like, super excited that he got into that show and he's Hispanic. Hey, guys, I'm Hispanic,
saying,
and I watched that show in Vegas.
Sam, I'm Caucasian in front of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Caucasian, and I went to Burger King yesterday. I'm Caucasian. I mowed my lawn.
Which rodeo shows did you go to? Bun B. And I'm Caucasian. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That was
Oh, man. This is funny. We played the infomercial for the Riverdance. And by the way, thank you, Kevin Cooper, former head of media relations for the Texans, friend of the show. Sent me the video. He sent me the YouTube of all of Chad Ochocinco's Riverdance celebrations after touchdowns. So now, yes, I've seen that one. The signature for me is not just the hands on the hip. You weren't able to do this one, though, Seth, just because I can't see your legs, but the kicking of the knees with the
just
feet.
Just trust that I was doing it with all the alacrity of Michael Flatley.
I know you were. Someone says, we played the infomercial for Lord of the Dance. And someone said, keep in mind, an early 90s infomercial. I love how the advertisements use the words like magical to describe a newspaper review, but they don't tell you that the word turd comes after the word magical. Magical turd, huh? Come on now. No. I'm sure it was a magical show back in the day. Yeah, newspaper reviews, order tickets by phone. There was a lot of obsolete, like outdated stuff in that infomercial, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, doing anything by phone, my God. And talking to a person
like over the
phone.
People, just kids. We don't mean like on your phone. We mean like talking to people on the phone. Like, yeah, I know
talking
you do
to a human being on the phone.
Yeah, not using an app.
I still do that enough.
I like Jaylen.
I do it every time my bank calls me.
Hey,
you want a social? Sure, here you go.
Yeah.
Just have at it.
I like this from Jaylen Noel because it connected him with one of his now current teammates. This was Jalen Noel at the Senior Bowl being asked which defensive back. He wasn't a Texan yet, obviously. Which defensive back do you want to go against?
One DB in the NFL right now that you would most like to go up against?
I would say Derek Stingley. I feel like he's probably top two deep corners in the league right now. So, him for sure.
How about that? Stingley saw that video and gave him the handshake emoji and said iron. Just said iron. You know, iron sharpens iron. He gave it, said iron. With a handshake, and Jalen Noel replied to that with a handshake of his own.
Ah.
So let's watch these two go at it at training camp, Seth. The contract is signed. They're going to go at it at training camp this year.
Jalen Reed was asked at the combine. I think Landry asked him a question at the combine about the Texans, and Jalen Reed had reeled off. So Jalen Reed, the safety, he's the Jalen who's a safety in this draft class. He reeled off the entire Texans secondary pretty quickly. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because he knows Kalen Bullock, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mess up a Jalen, but I messed up the school. Because Reed's from Penn State.
Yeah.
So, but he reeled off, I think, the entire defensive backfield off the top of his head.
Yeah, I wonder who his connection. I mean, obviously, Juice Scruggs is on the team, was a teammate of his, but
I don't think he has a connection. He just knew the backfield.
Oh,
that's
he just knew him. Okay.
Impressive.
Gotcha. Give yourself a ding, by the way.
Oh, I bet it was Jalen Smith that the video I saw. Why
oh,
do I get a ding?
Jalen Smith would have the Bullock connection because they went to
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't mess up the names because
you had the wrong Jalen. Not
because I was just actually thinking of the wrong one. What am I getting a ding for?
Because you have not butchered any of these guys yet, I don't think.
Right.
I don't think you've gotten the wrong Jalen. I mean, maybe once I didn't notice or something, but good job. Because this was a concern coming into this week, all the J's.
I do have a cheat sheet with the actual. Before I say anything, that
give yourself
with a J,
a ding again for being smart and having a cheat sheet in front of you.
Getting ahead of the problem.
Understanding
my flaws and weaknesses.
Know
thyself. That's what Michael Flatley said.
Hell yeah, man. They said that we should call it the Pender Dance. I didn't know what it was until 10 minutes ago.
Oh, and that was Jalen Reed who had said that. So it's extra impressive because he's from Penn State. And he's not, you know, I thought maybe Jalen Smith would obviously know Kalen Bullock. But Jalen Reed reeled off the secondary.
Yeah. No, I know the clip you're talking about from the combine where Landry asked him the question. That's what got that when they drafted him in the 6th round. I'm like, oh, that's the dude. And I'm being serious here. I'm not being facetious. That's the dude that was just over the top with his praise of the Texans secondary at the combine.
I had never seen that clip before. I was excited to see this clip because the only other audio I had heard when I saw this clip was Jalen Reed after he got drafted. And when Nick Caserio is trying to have a conversation with him, all Jalen Reed is saying, let's go.
Let's do it. He's just screaming. Let's do it.
Yeah. And I'm to the point where I'm kind of like, is this guy all right? Yeah. I don't know. It turns out like he's got a pretty good, actually looks like he's functioning pretty damn well.
He just kept screaming it with each person they put on the phone.
Yeah.
We'll have to play that audio in the next segment just for people who didn't get to hear it. It's some incredible audio. It's just a person screaming, let's do it, 14 times in 22 seconds. It didn't matter if D'Amico was on the phone. He screamed it with Cal on the phone. Like, he's just, let's do it.
That's fun in a football environment. If you just hired somebody to be your choreographer of the river dance or something, and you're trying to have a conversation about him, and he's just yelling, let's do it! Let's do it!
It was wild, man.
I'm Hispanic!
That's still the greatest text ever. I'm Hispanic and I watch that show in Vegas. What's the correlation? You're allowed to watch it? What?
You're allowed to watch things outside of what might be just because it's called an Irish folklore.
Culture, man. Yeah.
I listen to rock and roll.
Hey guys, not sure if y'all touched on the Rockets, just got in the car, but do you think the series will change the mind on Durant or Booker more specific? Okay, let's hit that. We should be touching on the Rockets. We've touched on the Rockets a lot this morning.
Yeah, we touched on the Riverdance way too much. I apologize.
That's okay. That's all right. Got to hear an old school 90s infomercial. Made me feel young again. It's all good. So let's do that. And I think it's interesting the names that this person brings up. I hate that this is where we are, but down 3-1 to the Warriors, this is where we are. Not only with Wednesday night, but what could potentially happen after Wednesday night. We will get to that. We'll circle back to the draft. We got the Pettycast. This is going to be a good Pettycast. Coming up at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. Stay there. All right, just to put a bow on this, because we mentioned it in the previous segment, this was the greatest phone call. Of the 9 players that got drafted to the Texans, this was the most noteworthy and best phone call between the Texans brass and that player, informing them that they were going to become a Houston Texan. This is Jalen Reed, the safety, 6th rounder out of Penn State.
Hello.
Jalen, Nick Caserio with the Texans. How you doing, bud?
Let's do it.
Congratulations. We're going to turn a pick in. We're excited to have
Let's
you.
Do it.
You're a good football
Let's
player.
Do it.
So,
Let's do it.
Yeah, let me. I'm
Let's
put,
do it.
I'm going to put you on.
Let's do it.
I'm going to put you on
Let's
Coach
do
Ryan.
It.
Here's Coach Ryan.
Let's do it.
Hey, David, congrats, man.
Hey, get the Texans hat. Get the Texans hat. Let's do it. Appreciate it, Coach.
You get that Texans hat ready, man. We're fired up to have you.
All right, bet. Let's do it, Coach. Let's do it.
All right, I'm passing you over to our owner here. Yeah. Yes.
Tell me. All right, bet. Let's do it. Let's do it. Man, let's go. I'm ready. Let's go.
Give everyone a hug there that helps get you here, okay, bud? And we'll see you soon.
I got you.
Congrats.
They kind of cut to the chase with Cal. Cal, they handed the phone to Cal, and then you could tell there was sort of a jump cut. Like it did. The Cal portion did not last as brief a period of time as it was depicted in that particular audio.
Like, I don't have time for this.
Right. It was, if I had to guess, it was 10 more seconds of Jalen Reed screaming, let's do it, and Cal wondering what the hell is going on the other end of this phone.
As a young man who's incredibly excited, which you like to see.
Yes.
This is not just another Saturday for him. So that's cool.
Yeah.
I do like to think about Jalen Reed being in the huddle or something during a timeout in the with 2 minutes left in the game. And D'Amico on the sideline, D'Amico being like, okay, listen, we're going to show cover 2. He's like, let's do it. I'm like, okay, hold on a second, Jalen. But then we want to rotate. Oh, let's do it. Just hold on a second, Jalen. I got to explain something to you.
All right,
I got to get back on the field.
That's my favorite one. Let's do it.
All right, Jalen. This is what we typically see out of Flacco in this situation. Let's do it.
That's great.
But let me explain. Let's do it.
We got a text, someone saying that was one of the best moments of that man's life. Cut him some slack. Cut us some slack. That's what I was
just saying. You hypersensitive doofus.
I was just going to say, cut us some slack.
Let's do it.
Exactly, Jalen.
I'm going to come to wherever you live and Riverdance all over your skull.
Ben, we haven't done this in a while. I think. And Seth, you and I, we need to be in simpatico on this. I think we add, let's do it to the show open.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Let's add that.
Because we might have to rotate Shannon Sharp out of there.
Shannon Sharp might get canceled, yeah, so we may have to rotate him out. But for now, let's add him. We'll have Shannon and Jalen Reed both in there. Is that easily doable, Ben? Adding, give it to us one more time.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. That's a hotkey now.
That's a good one.
I can tell by the angle that Ben's sitting at that's a hotkey now with the monitor that he's looking at. All right, so we've got a lot of text on the Rockets, and several of them actually have to do with, okay, guys, you know, we're not making, I'm kind of summarizing all the texts here, Seth, into one paraphrase. But a lot of them saying, all right, do we need to go get Durant or the name that's popping onto the radar on the text page? I think it's been on the radar for both the Rockets and people thinking the Rockets need to make a deal for a big star, but the other Phoenix superstar, Devin Booker. And you know, Booker, it sounds weird to say this because Durant is one of the top 10 players in the history of the league. It's going to cost you a lot more in terms of assets to go get Devin Booker because he's a younger player than it is to go get Kevin Durant, who's going to be 38 and is on, you know, he's in the twilight years of his career. Either one would have come in awfully handy down one at the end of the game last night to try to go get you get the team some offense without having to work the ball around. Go get a bucket for us at the end of the game.
Yeah, and there were a lot of rumors just, you know, at the trade deadline about Devin Booker to the Rockets. Not at the trade. Just a lot of speculation. Not at the trade deadline. It's a lot of speculation going on.
But there was
at
the deadline, too. Booker got mentioned at the deadline.
It was at the deadline.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I got confused because I was looking at a time stamp that was wrong on an article. I'm all for it at this point. Yes. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, whomever it might be, by all means, yes, please bring somebody in here who can give this offense some juice.
Here's the question now, because the question was that, you know, Durant got talked about before the playoffs, almost as sort of this preemptive, like, hey, if this series doesn't go well, just know that this is the name that's going to come up. Be ready, everyone. Because every time we bring up Kevin Durant, whether it was at the trade deadline or his name got brought up in the second half of the season, there was a lot of, like, don't want Durant, want to roll with this young crew, that kind of thing. But if there were a trade, I know you and I would talk a lot about, all right, who are the guys that we do not want in that trade? And Amen Thompson is the clear one to me that's untouchable. And I know he hasn't been great in this series, but he, to me, has the highest ceiling of any player on this basketball team because he's already elite defensively. He's the only one on the team that's super elite at really anything. You know, there's a lot of guys that are good, talented basketball players. Amen Thompson is an all-defensive, you know, an all-NBA defensive player. He was top five for defensive player of the year. And I think you can see enough of him offensively to know that, you know, working on his jump shot in the offseason, you know, he's already really good going to the bucket. Maybe he develops a three-point shot down the road. Who knows? I think he has a ceiling to be very good offensively. He's already elite defensively. Untouchable, Amen Thompson still. The ones that were kind of on the, you know, in that in-between stage were Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün. Are they untouchable in a deal for either of these guys?
No.
Green, you almost have to put in a Devin Booker trade because there's overlap with the two.
Right. Yeah, and I'm glad that Jalen Green has made the progress that he has this season, but I'm not in the mood to sit around and wait three more years to where he can start being consistent in the playoffs. I mean, they're just like, to boil it down to as simple as possible, he's 3 out of 4 times he's been in the single digits scoring in these playoffs. He had that one brilliant game, but then you just can't abide single digit scoring in playoff games from a guy that's supposed to be one of the best players on your team.
Correct.
You know, I'll go through Devin Booker. Just keep this super simple. I can't find a playoff performance where he's been in the single digits, you know, and he's been in the finals. Do I wait 3 more years for Jalen Green to just start get a feel for the playoffs and how to perform in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I've lost my patience.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if it gets you Devin Booker, I've kind of... Now, this is interesting, though. Chris Baldwin of Paper City, probably best known in these here parts for calling J.J. Watt the pizza boy back in 2011. He had that article where he was distraught that the Texans drafted the pizza boy. He has a really good article from right after the one win in this series in Game 2. He had access. He was in the Fertitta's suite with them after the game was over, so I had a chance to talk to Tillman and Patrick and Rafael Stone about the Rockets and kind of where this team is. Now, keep in mind, this was right after a double-digit win over the Warriors, and Tillman Fertitta had quotes in the article like, this team is never going to get bullied by any team in the NBA. They talked about how committed they were and are to this young core. You know, that they were getting calls about it. It made it say, the article Seth made it sound like they were the ones getting calls about the superstar players much more than them initiating the calls to look for a superstar player. Like, they're really committed to this group. Again, that's after the sugar high of a win over the Warriors to tie that series at one. I would submit that there have been times in the games 3 and 4 in this series where they have been bullied around a little bit by the Warriors, and this young core that you're talking about has failed you in these two games.
Yeah, and like in Şengün, the numbers look good in the box score, but just when Draymond Green was on the floor, Şengün was
a mess.
Not effective.
Yes.
Yeah, and in the final quarter especially, Draymond Green showing back up was pretty much the key to the game there. If Draymond Green had fouled out, then Rockets probably win that game because Şengün was a different guy out there. As long as Draymond Green would come on the floor, and Şengün would dribble a couple drips out of his little river dance.
His little river dance.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's a lot of, you know, it feels like the appetite. It feels like this 3-1 deficit, and especially the way last night went down, has kind of whetted the appetite for our audience for a trade of some sort. And it may not be KD. Maybe it's Booker. Or maybe somebody else. They need some offense. They need somebody who can go get them some buckets at the end of games like that last night. That last possession, not good. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Tuesday at 8 a.m. means it's Pettycast time. This is a great way to blend the Bill Belichick interview story with pettiness. There is,
which got even better yesterday.
Yes, we will combine that. The latest details of the Bill Belichick CBS interview are incredible, as well as his pettiness towards both Robert Kraft and social media. So we'll get to that, and we've got other petties in there. Text yours in, 713-572-4610. Pettycast next.